GM Summer Drive is back. Right now, get up to $5,000 cash back on 2004 GM cars and trucks. Take delivery by August 31st. See your dealer or GM.com for details.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
On our show tonight, Raj Fanin, a Egyptian immigrant to this country, is going to join us to talk about how careful Americans need to be so as not to be rude to Middle Easterners. And he believes that Americans are fully aware that there are consequences to being rude to a Middle East immigrant as opposed to, say, one from Mexico or one from the Pacific Rim. And Dean Wheeler will be with us on Lance Armstrong, who is shooting for his sixth Tour de France. Mr. Wheeler is with the Northern California Action Group. He is saying that Lance Armstrong is yet another example of a cancer survivor shoving it down our throats. Another arrogant cancer survivor talking about how great life is now, and the rest of us have got to listen to it. So that's coming up on our show tonight with a flashback from Jeff Dowder. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Clear Channel Communications has sued the distributor of Howard Stern's radio show for more than $3 million, claiming Stern broke their contract by violating federal indecency regulations. Now, before I launch into the rest of this story, I want to make two things clear. One, I work for Clear Channel Communications. Two, the specific group that I work for is the Premier Radio Networks. They are the syndication arm of Clear Channel. And sort of continuing the thought, I have been treated with nothing but great respect and ultimate fairness by Premier. I happen to enjoy working here, and I like everybody that I work with. That's the truth. They've given me an opportunity that I hope I'm making the most out of. However, I'm talking now about the parent company, which is Clear Channel, an owner of many hundreds of radio stations. And when I mention the name Howard Stern, I'm not doing it in a gratuitous fashion. I have said before, and I need to say this again, his name is one that is historic. We're not just talking about a competing radio host and these usual rules that are laid down in the world of radio. Well, you never mention the competition on the air. He is not just competition. His name is a historic name in our business. Let me put it to you as simply and as clearly as I can. There would be no Rush Limbaugh, Phil Hendry, or just about any other kind of edgy or controversial radio were it not for Howard Stern. He has reinvented the medium, and he literally invented the modern talk show. Now, I like to think that our show is much more distinct from his, and that we do a lot of satire with character voices, etc. And there are sure a lot of clones of his show out there, and there are all kinds of people trying to be him. But in terms of speech, the ability to say the things that we say on the air, it started with him challenging a lot of those boundaries. And those boundaries got challenged, and the companies that hire him, or people who are, using that word again, edgy, they do it willingly, they do it with complete and utter understanding of what it is that they're getting into. Now, we have an example here of what I was talking about last night. See, radio, the radio industry, the companies in this business do this. They don't sue the FCC, they sue their own talent. See, this is why it's such a disappointing industry for one that I have given a lot of years to, and one that I try to do my very best at expanding the boundaries of. And what is the thanks generally that we get? Sued. Talent is sued. Not the FCC. Not a government agency that has overstepped its legal authority, but the very people that, you know, work for these companies. See, we can't rush to Washington fast enough on bended knee. Just go before the FCC on our knees. That if you actually saw yourself in a mirror, you'd never want to look at yourself in a mirror again. You go before the FCC on your knees and ask them, "Can I get you anything else, sir? You know, can I wash and wax your car while I'm here? Can I go out and get some birthday presents for your kids? Can I cook you dinner? Can I scrub your shorts? As long as I'm back here in Washington on my knees begging for you to preserve my license." Rather than challenge their legal authority and their ability to supposedly regulate speech, which they have no legal authority to do, any lawyer that tells you they do doesn't know what he's talking about. He hasn't looked into it. He hasn't looked at the ramifications of the Federal Communications Act of 1934 or any subsequent act that says the FCC can regulate speech. Well, they can't. Now, this week, I mentioned to you, this guy Les Moonves over at CBS said he's going to sue the FCC if they try to slap fines on his radio station. And at the time, I said, well, you know what? That's a pretty courageous statement, and maybe I got to rethink Mr. Moonves, because we've taken a few well-aimed and sometimes vicious shots at him, but it's all in a day's work. However, like I said, maybe I got to rethink it, because that's the only guy in this business that I've heard say, we're going to sue the FCC, they haven't got the right. However, the company that I work for, that's not what they do. They take the traditional path of beating up the talent, which has been done over and over and over and over again. Let's fire them. Can you imagine the bullying state of mind one has to have to take what a man does for a living and just take it away from him? To say that you now don't have a job because you don't want to waste the money because you got to pay it out in bonuses or something to executives? So you sure don't want to give it to a lawyer so that you can do something really historic and really great, and that is challenge the FCC and these illicit, illegal, profane fines that they continue to distribute without any basis in legal structure whatsoever. Challenge that? No. What we'll do is we'll turn around and fire our talent, sue our talent, harass our talent, bully our talent, push them around, take their right to make a living away from them, take their ability to make a living away from them, and just go on down the traditional radio path. I know that what I'm saying here and a lot of the stuff I'm talking about is very inside, but I'm trying to give you a snapshot of the business that I'm in, and an aspect of the news of the day that you guys have been privy to, which is this entire FCC situation having to do with speech. Now, when Janet Jackson pulled her little stunt there in January at the Super Bowl, as I've said to you before, and I'll keep saying it till the day I croak, they had every foreknowledge. I don't believe them at all when they say they didn't know what was going to happen. I think they're out and out liars. But Les Moonves, for a liar, is a guy with great integrity. Now, moving along, but what happened after that, as you know, is instead of fining CBS, all the radio stations started getting fined. And without hardly any exceptions whatsoever, the broadcast giants, I love the way they use these terms, broadcast giants. What the hell is giant about them anyway? What, they got a lot of money? Because when it comes to integrity, or let's just boil it down to a more accessible word, when it comes to courage, these guys are dwarfs. These guys are little miniature tiny, they're like Smurfs. They're industry Smurfs. And they go to the FCC, and they drop to their knees and beg and cry like a man who's about to go to the guillotine. And then they scurry on back to their home base, wiping the sweat from their brows, thanking God that they still have their licenses and their stations, and they immediately begin wagging their fingers into the faces of the talent, and in cases, firing them, pushing them around, bullying them, telling them this, telling them that, probably violating their own personal service agreements with this talent because they knew full damn well what they were hiring. That's the other thing I can't stand. These guys hire these cats. They know what kind of show they do. They know the things that they talk about. They know the manner in which they talk about these things, and then all of a sudden it's, well, you know, I guess we're just going to have to rethink this because, but it isn't our fault. Hey, I got news for you. If there is such a thing as FCC standards with regard to decency, they were around 10 years ago, and they were around 20 years ago, and they've been around for a long time. They were around 5 years ago. They damn sure were around when they agreed to put Howard Stern on the radio station. So what's changed? All of a sudden they got religion? All of a sudden they think that they're going to be responsible broadcasters and preserve their license? No. What's changed is the FCC is, you know, it's they've kicked in the door and they've taken the wives and the children hostage, and the broadcast industry, quote, giants are sitting there wetting their pants and decide that they're going to take the easy way out, which is to push the talent around, the people that they hire to be on their radio stations, because we don't have any juice. Now, Stern's got a few dollars, and I'm sure he will be happy to fight this lawsuit. And in fact, I think that there are two lawsuits involved. He sued them. They're suing him. But I just think it is such a predictably boring, process that the broadcast industry continually involves itself in, and that is this. You can see it with, you know, coming away, like three blocks away, same way that I said I could see the Lakers not getting out of the Western Conference. Well, they didn't win the championship. And you know what they're going to do, man. They're going to start harassing the very people that they're supposed to be protecting. It would be nice to see these companies stand behind the personalities and talent that they hire rather than stand in front of them with their arms locked with the FCC and beating them like a rented freaking mule. Would it be nice to see a company stand behind you as opposed to turn around and act as the inquisitor for the FCC, act as the Gestapo agent for the FCC? Wouldn't it be nice to see your company stand up and say, we hired this man to do the show that he is doing, we stand behind it 100%, and we challenge your authority to say that you can do thus and so? Nah, ain't gonna happen, not in my lifetime. Well, I still got a few years left, maybe in my lifetime, if I live to be 160. You know, that guy that called last night called me a sellout. Well, I got to take a break. I want to get into that whole sellout thing, too, because, yeah, I sold out, man. I'm making all kinds of friends. Anyway, 1-800-449-8686. Raj Fanin joins us tonight. Americans have learned that Middle Eastern immigrants are not people you can trifle with. There are risks involved. Dean Wheeler on Lance Armstrong running around screaming about being a cancer survivor and what a pain in the neck those guys are. It's coming up on The Phil Hendry Show. Our email address, phs@philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
I got to tell you about something that happened to the family and I today. It didn't happen, but it was like a happening, I guess. We went out, and we were invited by Trey Parker and Matt Stone to go out to the stage that they're filming their new movie on. And we were very happy to find out a few weeks ago that they're listeners and fans of the show, which was a real plus for me, not just from the standpoint of having a couple of guys like that like the show, but my kids are enormous fans of theirs as well. And so when we got invited to go to the movie set of Team America, which is the new film they're doing, it was a pretty exciting invitation. And we went out there, and I just got a couple of things to say, because I don't want to sound obsequious and, you know, fawning, but they are two genuine gentlemen, just down-to-earth guys. And the other thing, besides the fact this flick is going to be hysterical, and I'm not going to tell you anything about it. The trailer's going to be out next week. This movie is already a hit. Like, I know when I see a hit, man, and this thing is going to be a smash. They're going to make hundreds of billions of dollars. They'll be able to buy islands in the Pacific, entire sections of Canada. It's going to be a beautiful thing. It's really funny, and it is extremely unique. And its message is going to be very refreshing. I mean, it's going to be really cathartic for us to see this movie. So anyway, they invited us out there to see the various sets that they've constructed for this, which was very exciting. And then we had lunch with them. And then they invited us into a post-production office of some kind, and they showed us scenes from the movie. And I'm telling you, I mean, I know it's funny, and I'm watching this thing. You're gonna hawk up your tonsils. Whole testicles will just, you know, other people's testicles will come flying out of your mouth. It is a very funny movie. They mentioned something to me, though, that I really admire. I'm glad they were able to obtain this kind of power. They don't have to submit a script to a studio, either with South Park or with this new movie, other than Standards and Practices, which television has, so that you don't say the F word and you don't call people the MF and this kind of thing. They don't have to listen to any executive tell them how to write a script, punch up a joke, or otherwise meddle and ultimately pollute whatever there's doing, right? I mean, I think that is a beautiful thing. Now, they're working for Paramount Pictures, which is pretty heavy. And I said, there's got to be some guy with the buff teeth and the golden brown, you know, walnut tan who comes down there and tells you guys how to do it. Well, there's a guy that they send down, but he don't tell us how to do it. He comes down, he looks around, he flashes his newly capped teeth, and then he leaves. We just tell him to get out of here. Get out while you're still alive. And the same thing with the TV show. Now that, folks, in this business, I don't know, in the business that you're in, you want to be left alone to do your job. In this business, that's gold. I mean, that's just gold. I said, you guys have inspired me. If anybody ever asked me to do a TV show again, which ain't nobody knocking on the door these days, but who knows, I'm going to tell them, yep, I'll do it. You got to put it on the air. I ain't doing any more pilots. Anyway, I thought that that was, I said, man, you guys are my heroes just because of that. But I will tell you that the movie is going to be an utter smash. It is going to be utterly cathartic for all of us. It's going to address very contemporary issues. And beyond that, I ain't going to tell you nothing else. Because it's the most unique film, I think, that you will have seen. Honest to God. Film, movie. Probably one of the most unique, if not the most unique film you'll have ever seen. And so, you know, it was fun to go and see those guys. And, you know, maybe we can hang out and they'll invite me to their house or something, but I doubt it. Because I tend to hang around and I start, you know, I get drunk and then I don't want to leave. And then, hey, you want to get together for lunch? You know, I'm really embarrassing that way, so they won't want to see me anymore. But it was fun while it lasted. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Anyway, the guy that called yesterday said, hey, you know, I think he called from Miami. He said, well, how come you're a sellout? I said, you know, I thought about that. I mean, I answered the guy's question, but I went on and I thought about sellout. Doesn't that mean if you sell out, you get something in return for your selling out? So in other words, I'm a Democrat and I support Bush and the war on terror. And that makes me a sellout. Really? Like, what am I getting for that, man? I ain't made any new friends lately. I ain't getting paid any more money. And the very administration that I am supporting is the same administration. You know, Matt Groening said it very clearly. He said they're liable to the same people that Henry supports. They're going to fire him. Most likely, they'll take his job and they'll flush it down to John. I'm not getting anything out of supporting President Bush, the war on terror, or the war in Iraq. I get nothing out of it other than the fact that I'm being honest. It is an aspect to his presidency that I respect, I admire, and I support. Now, what am I getting for that? I don't know. If I'm getting something, man, I hope somebody will point it out to me, because I ain't seen my bank account ain't increased much lately. I ain't making any friends in this town. You can better believe that. I mean, what else? You know, I got people hating my guts in the Democratic Party because I ain't talking like a robot Democrat. I ain't talking like some cloned off Dukakis, Kerry, Bush sucks kind of predictable Democrat. One of these people that they aren't sure what they stand for. They just know what they stand against, right? So I'm not getting anything out of that. What the hell am I getting? It's more likely, like I said, you got to understand, it's more likely I'm going to lose my job than anybody out there in Hollywood land going to lose theirs. Or anybody out there in the world of the so-called, you know, liberal or anti-Iraq war America. Those people are going to be hanging on to their jobs long after I lose mine. Are you kidding? So what am I getting for selling out? You want to know who the sellouts are? It's the people that haven't got the guts to be flexible with their thinking. They sold out a long time ago. You talk about being afraid to change your opinion because people may change their opinion of you. That's selling out. And if you don't have the intellectual honesty to look at an issue and say, you know what, maybe there's a different way of looking at this because today's a different day and the world keeps changing. If you don't have the intellectual courage to do that, you're selling out. You're just going along with the program. Same old way of thinking you've always been thinking. In any event, if I have sold out and I've gotten something for it, I'll give you my bank account number. Would you guys call the bank and check it out on that automated system? I'll give you the PIN, too, in a moment. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Raj Fanin is going to be with us tonight. Mr. Fanin is an immigrant from Egypt, the Middle East. somewhere around there, some country like that, some place with pyramids and towels on heads and camels, you know, crap like that. And he's going to be on, and he's going to be talking about how Americans, they may be rude to Mexicans, they may be rude to Russians, Americans may be rude to a lot of immigrants, but people from the Middle East, Americans have learned there's a risk to offending a Middle Easterner. And Dean Wheeler will talk about Lance Armstrong and his bid for a sixth Tour de France. Mr. Armstrong, in the opinion of Dean Wheeler, who's with a think tank in Northern California, if you'll pardon the expression, is a guy who, you know, he's a cancer survivor, and these cancer survivors, can't they just shut up about it? I'm a cancer survivor. And because of that, you know, the water tastes sweeter, the air smells more floral, and I'm just, you know, my stuff. In fact, when I go to the bathroom, it hardly smells at all. And so he'll be talking about how Lance Armstrong is also rubbing the French poodle's nose in the red, white, and blue excrement of Uncle Sam. And by the way, speaking of Lance Armstrong, the French spit on him today. Get that. Now, I know those people are capable of all kinds of, you know, calculatedly dull, predictable, but all the more tasteless acts. But I, for the life of me, I can't imagine why they would spit on a man who is a champion cycler. I thought they liked that sport in that country, that they appreciated the great athletes that have rode tricycles around the countryside of France. I'm not into it. I mean, I used to ride bikes a lot, but Tour de France director Jean-Marie LeBlanc has admitted he's seen fans spit at five-time champion Lance Armstrong during the 15.5-kilometer time trial to l'Alpe d'Huez. I don't know what is that like. This is the only race I know where it's done in stages. Okay, we're done with that part. But only one stage one. To me, a race, you know, like the 48 hours at, what is it called? The 48 hours at Yellowknife or something, or the 24 hours at Le Mans or something. Just start the race, end the race. There, that's the end of the race. You win. It's going to take 18 weeks the way you guys are doing it. But this was exciting, wasn't it? This was a race from the stop sign to the barn. Yeah, all right. Great. We got that one out of the way. LeBlanc has also said the swarming crowds of the Twisting Climb on Wednesday had frightened him as riders, including Armstrong, were forced to weave through excited fans who jump out onto the road. I was scared, too, and I felt relieved when we reached the section with barriers, said LeBlanc. He hit out at some German fans. Until this morning, everybody thought this time trial was a good idea, and now we realize it's not so. There's a lot of aggressive fans surrounding the riders. I even saw two big idiots spit at Lance. Unfortunately, I doubt you can put barriers on a 14-kilometer race. Two big idiots? There were a couple of frogs there, whatever the hell your name is, Jean-Marie. Or should we just call you Mary? Two people in Frogtown, baby, spit on our guy, Lance. I don't care what we've done or what we're doing. When you live in a country where people are doing twists and flips and crawling under barbed wire and risking death and dehydration and every conceivable kind of calamity to get into, not out of, into, and our citizens are traveling the world being spit on, I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a settling of accounts with France. You remember when Hitler said there was going to be a settling of account? Of course, Hitler was a sick bastard, and he was referring to the genocide of the Jewish people. And, you know, well, his karma caught up with him. But I like that term, settling of accounts, when it comes to the frogs. You know, speaking of exterminating Jews, the French, who had a big hand in that, on top of the fact they tried to kill American flyers, I told you that whole story, right? You talk about karma catching up to you. Man, you guys are going to be swimming in a lake of fire when it finally comes your way. Frog. Frog, don't let the sun set on you, man. Guy goes riding through the streets and they spit on him. A champion. Not just some American. A five-time Tour de France, or is it France, champion. Boy. Now, of course, had I been there, I probably would have spit on him, too, just because I don't want to stand out in a crowd. But that, you know, that's not the point. Many Americans are like that, aren't we? We you know, a lot of Americans buy this little fairy tale that's been floating around for the last couple of years. We've lost all standing in the international community. Oh, really? Says who? Well, you just know people don't. I mean, look at the news. Look at what news are you talking about? I've seen a bunch of Arabs screaming, which is like, you know, about 100 guys. They get together for photo ops. Okay, that's one. I've seen what? You know, a bunch of imbeciles at a Bonnie Raitt concert. By the way, she, you know, is the latest celebrity to say that George Bush is the cause of the whole world's evils. Never mind, Bonnie. Do they have newspapers over there, baby? Or do you even read anymore? The fact is the 9/11 Commission came out today and said that neither President Clinton nor Bush were responsible because it was a failing of the actual administrative apparatus of intelligence gathering. But hey, let's not let the facts stand in the way of everybody's Bush bash festival. So Bonnie Raitt's there at a Swedish jazz festival. Now get a load of that. Are you cats in Sweden? Do you know what jazz is in Sweden? I guess not. I mean, Sweden don't come to mind when I think of jazz. I think of accordion music. I think of some guy leading a yak around on a leash. I think of some dude with a lederhosen going, I don't know, you know, but I go out onto the floe and I just think about things. Going out onto the ice floe there, Sven, and see if you can see Russia from up there, huh? But when it comes to jazz, Sweden ain't it. So then it probably doesn't surprise you. They had a jazz festival in, what is it, Stockholm, and Bonnie Raitt's at it. Now, I saw Bonnie Raitt. I saw her open for Stevie Ray Vaughan. She's good. She's a great guitar player. She's a blues guitar player, if you want to call her anything specific. She's like one of those kind of aggressive female blues rock people, you know, kind of in the sort of descendant of Janis Joplin type. But jazz is like Miles Davis. Jazz is an acoustic music. It is not electrified. So when you think about 94.7 The Wave, that ain't jazz. What that is music to have a tooth pulled by. What that is music to have your eyes pulled out by. You know, remember in the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, when they all were getting their medication and just, gentlemen, it's time for your pills. They had The Wave on. 94.7 The Wave. And meanwhile, you're having a knitting needle shoved up your nose. And they're just scraping around in there, man. Make sure they get all those neurons just completely obliterated. So now we get up to Sweden. I got a jazz festival. So guess what Bonnie Raitt does? Being the real boring person she probably is in real life, although her music's great, she says, here's a song for George Bush, and it was that tune, Your Good Thing's Gonna End. What exactly think's going to happen when Bush leaves, man? Hey, and Bush is not under any illusions. He said, I'm probably a one-term president. What do you think's going to happen? I'm really honestly curious. You think Kerry's going to sweep in and change everything? Are you serious? I mean, what do you think? He's going to pull us out of Iraq? Is he going to what? What's he going to do? Is he going to go over and just put a full mouth kiss on Jacques Chirac with tongue? And squeeze his ass a little bit, and they'll just sort of lip-lock and make out there under the Arc de Triomphe, and America and France will be as one again? Is that what's going to happen? Is he going to then go on to Germany, and he's going to sit there and have a sausage-eating contest there with Helmut Schroeder? Any cat with a name Helmut, by the way, must not have a lot underneath that helmet. And then is he going to wing his way on to where else are we all, they hate our guy? Oh, yeah, Spain. Is he going to go down to Spain, and is he going to shake their hands and look sorrowful at the ground and kind of scuff his Buster Browns in the dust and say, I'm sorry. And then is he going to go over there to, where else is he going to go? Go on to the Middle East. Yes, we must go to Saudi Arabia, and he's going to talk tough to the Saudis. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. You bet. Yeah, you talk tough to him, baby, and there's still going to be charges like $8,000 a barrel. What you going to say, man? You're going to come over there with that Herman Munster kisser of yours, and they're going to look at you and, like, run. They're going to, the women and children will scream, and the men will very politely laugh into their fists. Wherever they happen to have their fists at the time. And then he's going to go to where? Going to go up to Canada. Ah, yes, Canada. We must not forget our friends to the north. And he's going to go up there, and he's going to assure everyone that he's very aware of the fact that America is a mass-murdering, butchering, belligerent giant to the south. And we will do everything in our power to even make ourselves even more worthy of the admiration of the Canadians. We'll spend even more money on national defense, so that, which is not a bad idea, so the Canadians can be assured that we really do mean it when we say we're taking the place of your armed forces, because you're too freaking cheap to build one yourself. You cats are so cheap in Canada. I swear to God, every time you people sit down on a toilet to try to just take care of the day's business, the high-pitched whistle that comes out murders dogs across North America. Garage doors fly up. Dogs die as that just comes sailing right out. And then where else is he going to go? Well, I don't know. He'll go places to assure everybody all over the world that bad old George Bush is gone, and the guy who never had an idea in his head, and if he ever did, it was something he stole from somebody somewhere, John Kerry. Yes, I am a Democrat. Voted Democrat my whole life, and I can tell you exactly what it is to be a Democrat, and I ain't voting for Kerry, because I'm tired, man, of being in a party that don't stand for diddly squat. It does, but not these guys. These cats stand for I Hate George, Incorporated. There. Now, here's John on the Phil Henry Show. John?
Hey, Phil. You know, I can appreciate that you're a that you call yourself a Democrat, but when you're on the Rush Limbaugh show saying what a great fan you are and how much you respect him, and you're on doing spots
I'm
on
doing
the,
commercials, yeah.
Yeah, and then on the Glenn Beck show as well. And
yeah,
then you're
right.
In a
well, you listen to all the radio shows, don't you?
On the internet.
Hey, Junior.
Don't call me Junior, my
don't,
name's John.
Don't start dominating the conversation, Miami, okay? Because you know where you're going to go. So
then
what's your point?
Why don't you answer the question? How are you in a picture with Ann?
Do you want to hear the answer? Do you want to hear the answer? Do you want to hear the answer? Do you want to hear the answer, or are you just going to make a speech?
I'm not making a speech.
Do you want to hear the answer?
Sure.
Okay. Number one, Ann Coulter came into my show. She wanted to watch us work. And while she was here, I talked to her on the air, and I told her I thought she was full of crap about McCarthy and a whole bunch of other things. I even called her a Nazi whore to her face, which she was very amused at because she just loves us. Okay? She's a lady with a sense of humor. She gets along with a lot of different people. She happens to have some opinions that I admire and some opinions that I don't. Okay? And I had my picture taken with her, all right? Rush Limbaugh, I'm on his show because he's a broad... Hey, man, I just answered your... I'm trying to answer your question.
Okay.
Yes, we got Ann Coulter, Rush Limbaugh. I do a commercial for my sponsor, Cordislim. They've asked me to do it for a lot of different radio shows. I do admire Rush as a broadcaster. How can you not? The freaking guy is he's an 800-pound gorilla. And as far as Glenn Beck is concerned, Glenn's okay. I pat him on the head every now and again, and I say, don't try to steal too much of my stuff, Glenn. But in the meantime, here's a commercial for you.
How stupid do you think we are, Phil?
Pretty stupid.
Okay, yeah, you're the stupid one, and you think you play us off for food, but we know, like, you're not fooling anybody, pal.
Hey, John, you asked the question of my screener, you aren't a Democrat. What's a Democrat?
What's a Democrat?
Yeah, go ahead, tell me what a Democrat is.
Not you, that's for damn sure.
No, give me an intelligent answer. Let's just see if you can muster up an intelligent answer. What's
an
a Democrat?
An intelligent answer? Listen to you.
I knew you couldn't do it, man. Dude, you don't know what a Democrat is any more than you know what a daily hygiene is. Is he gone? He's gone. I didn't hang up on him. I think he suddenly had a case of the runs. 1-800-449-8686. That's John. As in, I got to make it to the John by 3:16. What time is it now? Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
At 8 o'clock, however much time you guys are, airing the show, we will have Raj Fineen. Next hour, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Next hour, we'll have Raj Fineen on how Americans have learned. They've learned their lesson. You can trifle with the Mexican immigrant. You can trifle with the European immigrant. You can talk about the Russian immigrant. But when you try talking about the Middle Eastern immigrant, take care. Have a care, because there's risks involved. Also, Dean Wheeler on Lance Armstrong, another cancer survivor, screaming about how he's just loves the smell of the flowers, man. He's stopping and he's smelling the coffee. He's stopping and he's taking a sniff there on Cheryl's... At 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. And we have that... Well, look, I can go on and on about the 9/11 Commission report. I ain't going to do that. What I'm going to talk about, more to the point, is when I got home last night, my kids left to go to a gaming festival of some kind, and I walked into the kitchen, and it smelled like the inside of someone's butt. Now, I'm going to tell you kids for the last time, take the trash out. You know those trash compactors? Have you got one? I have a trash compactor. Now, after you get over the initial giggly joy of putting stuff in it and watching it flatten it, you know, after you get over the thing of putting cans in there and seeing them go, weep, you know, oh, look at that, man, it's like a pancake, and then your wife walking up and saying, excuse me, that's for recycling, not for the trash can. After you get over that, then you realize it's another machine that can break. You got dishwasher. I got four kids, and we have two dishwashers, and those things are going all the time. All the time. They never stop going. The water alone, the dishwashing detergent alone, is enough to put me, and may very well put me, into Chapter 11. My kids are eating all the time, because they're kids. Kids eat all the time, and so the dishwashers are going all the time. And I'm talking about big, big plates and all kinds of stuff, right? Then we got the trend. Those things, when those things go down, forget it. That means I actually have to wash dishes. But you notice how I said I, because I'm the one that does the dishes around there. But when those things go down, like you know, machines do, we're in a world of hurt. And then the other machine we have, of course, is the refrigerator. And we got one of those big-ass refrigerators. When you got kids, man, you got to cram a lot of stuff into a room. You got to get freezer full of frozen this and frozen that. And my wife saves every small particle of food that isn't eaten, she's eaten, she saves. We've got like a banana that was half eaten in the freezer. And now the skin is black. For what possible reason would I go in there and eat that? And she said, well, you know, you could put it in a shake or something. You could blend it up. And I go, well, okay, I guess that's cool. There's frozen chili from like a year ago. We made chili, and she didn't want to dump it out. Now it's in there. We have, in that freezer, this stuff. There might even be the original, you know, the original Teutonic man in there. You know that dude that they found frozen in the Alps? I think he's laying in there now. In fact, there might be a couple more. And then we got this trash compactor. And this trash compactor is something that can obviously, you know, have problems and can break. But I never thought that I would see the day that the trash compactors use so much, nobody wants to take the bag out to the trash can. They want to just keep squeezing the garbage that's in there down more and more and more until finally it smells like a decaying human body. And I walked into the house last night after I got off the work. Nobody's there. Everybody's at the beach. And I'm like, oh, what died? And the cat's looking at me like, what, are you looking at me? I said, well, you're the only other one here. Why don't you take the trash out? And the cat said, you first. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
Okay. Well, we seem to be at cross purposes here. What happened to my... is my guest on? I just heard the Art Bell music. I'm completely frightened now. I'm not just confused. I'm scared. I'll get Mr. Finine on line one. And Mr. Finine, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I'm sorry, but I had a little bit of an engineering difficulty. Immigrants, you were saying, have had a difficult time. What, sir?
Well, immigrants have had a difficult time. Fortunately, it's not that difficult for me.
Now, you're from Egypt originally?
This is correct. It's because of where I'm from originally, there is a reputation that people from the Middle East are not people that you dismiss as you dismiss the Mexican or Chinese or these different immigrants from different parts of the world.
Are you saying that being an immigrant from the Middle East, people may think twice about harassing you?
Yes.
Or challenging you?
Yes. I can give you an example.
Go ahead.
My family and I, which I have a wife, a 2-year-old son. My wife is pregnant with another child.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We'd love to go to the State Street Promenade to go to shopping, to see a movie. We know that when we go to a restaurant, we know that they are going to find us a table, you know, immediately, even if there is a line, because they know that to be rude to a person from the Middle East does not carry. It carries certain risks.
That's an interesting statement. Being rude to a person from the Middle East carries certain risks. I think I know what you mean, but tell me what you mean.
Well, you see, the people of this country, the people of America, there's no consequence when you threaten, for instance, a Mexican. There's no consequence when you threaten the Canada man or the China man. But in the back, the minds of America, there's now a consequence when you threaten a man from the Middle East, a Muslim man. When you threaten a Muslim man.
Well, I want to ask you, are you saying that if I were rude to you in public or wherever, you would consider a violent act against me? Is that...
No.
Is that what you're saying?
No. If you just... if you guys shut your mouth, I'm trying to...
What'd you say?
If you just... Just to shut your mouth for a moment. I want to...
Generally, that's considered a rude statement.
No. I'm saying the Middle East people who come to America, Americans now know they cannot be rude to them to get their kicks, to have fun without consequence. There is no consequence.
Yes, but Mr. Finin...
You know, I was driving on a freeway, not long ago, driving on the freeway, not 2 weeks ago, there was this man who was driving. I don't know, he looked as if he was a very fast car, a sports car. He wanted to come into my lane, and he was weaving through traffic. But when he looked at me, and he saw that I was a Muslim man, I could see he put his foot on the brake. He backed away. And he, you know, eventually got in the lane behind me, where, in fact, he belonged. But I was excited to know that this was a smart American, not one who was out there, you know, asking to try to...
All right, look, Mr. Finin, do you take pleasure in making Americans afraid? Because you're a Middle Easterner. I'll tell you why I ask you that. If you were to strike the same fear into people, say, at an airport, you would never get on the plane. They never let you on the plane.
Yes, but... The other side of this argument is that that would be then is profiling.
And wait a minute.
Because I've not done anything wrong.
No, but wait a minute.
I've not done anything wrong.
But you want to look intimidating. You want to strike fear.
You know. You are speaking to me of problems. The U.S. authorities have. I'm not interested in their problem. They cannot profile me. But of course, I am aware. People see me. What are my wife? What are my child? They're not so eager to push us around because we're Middle East.
Okay, hold on for a minute. 1-800-449-8686, because I want to bring up something that you talked to my producer about. We're talking with Raj Fineen. He is a businessman. What is your business, sir?
We own the clothing business. We have apartments.
You have some real estate?
Yes. That's true, yes. We have... and export-import, you know.
Okay, the export-import business?
Yes.
You told our producers a story off the air that almost verged on a little bit of bad taste. I mean, having to do with your son...
No, it's not bad taste.
Well, did you use your son to make people afraid?
No. Please shut your mouth. I was with my wife. And
Sir, when you say that you'd like me to be quiet, that's fine, but to tell me to shut my mouth is considered rude.
But please let me say, I was with my wife and my son. We were drinking these snow cones, and we were playing this game. My son would say, "Daddy, I dare you this," or "Daddy, I dare you that." I said to my son, "Well, I dare you to do this. I dare you to do that." I said to my son, "Well, I dare you to put your backpack on, with it facing front, and to go into the store to see that what the man does, because this is the way these matters in Palestine." I have to wear a backpack. And my wife sat in the car so we could see this, to have this Cold Stone Creamery.
All right. You told your son to put a backpack on the reverse way.
Yes.
Because it looks the way the suicide bombers look in Israel?
Yes, sir.
And you did this for fun?
No, no. My son don't have a bomb. My son.
But you wanted to make it look like your son had a bomb. So he put his backpack on reverse, walked into this store, and you wanted to see the reaction of the man?
Yes, the man, you could see that this worked in this country. He looked as if he was going to defecate in his pants, you know, and so this is what, for me.
To me, that's the height of bad taste to use a child to make it appear as he's a suicide bomber.
But this is the reason why my Americans are going to treat me with more respect, because to disrespect a Muslim man is to risk a certain consequence. You see.
And this has made your entry into American society easier?
Oh, yes. This story, this is bad for Muslims in this country. It's not true at all. That's just those people. Mr. Penn, Mrs. Robbins, we don't mistreat it. America will not, because America is afraid that we are mistreated, as we will make this terrorism.
Okay, I'm having, you got a thick accent, sir, and I'm trying to understand you, but the gist of what you're saying is...
We are not mistreated. I'm not saying America mistreats this Middle Eastern people.
You're not saying we mistreat Middle Eastern people?
No, because Americans do not dare. Because we have shown that you don't treat Muslim men, Middle East men, with disrespect.
All right, do you have family here?
Yes, I do.
And where are they?
They are there in San Francisco. And this also plays into what we're saying. My brother moved to San Francisco with his wife, his two daughters. And I confess, we did this thing, what we thought was funny, to watch the action of Americans.
What was it?
Well, we went to this Golden Gate Bridge, you know.
Right.
And we took pictures and the different pictures of the Golden Gate Bridge. Americans think this is terrorism. You know, to me this is funny. And it also is important because then Americans are not going to...
All right, wait. You went to the Golden Gate Bridge with your brother and his family to take pictures of the Golden Gate Bridge because Americans think that's what terrorists do. And you thought that was funny.
Yes, this way. Because, you see, Americans, they get nervous. And
what possible fun can you get out of this?
Okay, because you're not listening to me. It's to let the American people know that to be rude or to disrespectful of a man from the Middle East carries great risk.
To be rude or disrespectful of a man from the Middle East carries great risk. All right. 1-800-449-8686. He's got a very, it was difficult for me to understand him, but his point is this. You may talk about Mexicans, this or that, but Middle Easterners, you don't get rude to them to their face because, you know, and it sounds to me like he's using 9/11 as the tacit threat. Now, he mentioned that he put his son's backpack on his son backwards so that the backpack was in the front. That's exactly the way the suicide bombers in Israel look like. And he sent him into a store so him and his wife could get a laugh. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Mr. Raj Fanin. He is an Egyptian immigrant here in the United States. He is a clothier. The family owns real estate. They're doing very well here. And he says the Americans treat him very well. But one of the reasons why they do is because Americans don't dare mistreat a Middle Easterner for fear of, quote, the consequences, end quote. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. Shock and awe meets your radio dial. Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Raj, hold on here for a minute. 1-800-449-8686. Mr. Raj Fanin, a native of Egypt, he's an immigrant. You call yourself when I say you're an immigrant, I say that with the greatest of respect. You come from the Middle East, which you say is a plus because people are intimidated a little bit by Middle Easterners. Before we get to a couple of phone calls, I wanted to ask you, don't you want to be a good neighbor? Do you want to influence people through fear? You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not. this is not a message that is a message that I can, you know, understand, because it's just...
Well, what's to understand, rather than make your neighbors afraid?
No, I come from Middle East. I come from Muslim country. And the way that we deal with the problem of our neighbor is to let them know, I'm at least man. You're not going to, to intimidate me. I don't know if this American, when you say, do I want to be a good neighbor? I am a good neighbor. But you will remember that you will not be rude to me, because I'm not a Mexican.
No, you seem to intimate that Mexican people get pushed around.
But they let themselves be governor. They let themselves be pool boy. They let themselves be taco boy. This kind of thing. You're not. This lady lived next door to us in her townhome. She asked my wife, move your car from the back wall, because she could not move her car. And I went to her, and I said, I'm a Middle East man. Now you want to ask me to move my car? And she said, I'm sorry, I must have the wrong house.
No, she didn't.
Yes, she did, because she knew. Oh, yeah. She knew. You don't. We are very proud people.
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Elizabeth, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Raj Fineen.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a few things I'd like to say. Number one, if this guy were my neighbor or came in to see me or saw me on the street or whatever, and if he were rude to me, I would be rude right back. I don't care what
background
he is.
Be careful.
And he does. Hey, I'm not scared of you. And and you come from a... Excuse me, let me
you
finish.
You have to be careful.
You come from a country where rudeness is a way of life. Well, you know what? You're now in America where rudeness is not a way of life. And you should be very thankful that you can come into this country and own real estate and a business and everything else and be able to speak the way you speak without being afraid of losing your head.
I grew up
in a military family.
Shut your mouth for a minute.
I traveled through Egypt. They were extremely rude, and not just to Americans, but to anyone. So I'm not afraid of you.
Well, you want to treat me as a Mexican. You can't do this.
I'm not rude to Mexicans either, but I'm rude to anybody. I don't care what nationality you are. If they're rude to me, I will be rude back.
Mr. Fineen, are you
And
being...
you telling me to shut up? You shut up.
I'm asking you to shut your mouth so I can finish.
You shut your own mouth.
No, but please shut your mouth so that I can
No, finish. I'm not going to shut my mouth. That is a rude way of asking me to please be quiet and make so you can make your point.
Mr. Fineen,
so you need to be a little bit more polite to me if you expect me to be polite to you.
But you see how you are afraid? I can tell in your voice. It quivers like you're a child. So
I'm hardly a child. I'm just so
like
angry at you right now that I am just trying to hold back my anger.
Let me jump in here. Mr. Fineen, first of all, Elizabeth makes a very good point. Saying shut your mouth is an idiom in our country and in our language that is rude. You may say, may I say something? Could you be quiet for a moment? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. No. You don't understand.
No, I'm trying to tell you that the phrase... please shut your mouth, is rude.
But you won't shut your mouth.
But he didn't say
no, but,
please.
But
all
you,
he said was shut your mouth.
No, but you won't shut your mouth. You continue to...
Well, no, I'm not going to shut my mouth because I don't want to listen to anything you have to
Why
say.
Don't
You're
you
rude,
shut...
and you know what? Go back to your own damn country.
Why don't you shut your mouth and listen to a
no,
man?
No, I'm not going to shut my mouth. You speak in a polite way, and
I'm
then
sorry.
I will stop speaking.
This is typical of Big White Cracker Lady. That she is.
What do you mean, big white cracker lady?
what makes you think I'm white?
You're kidding, right?
No, I'm asking you. What makes you think I am white?
Because you won't shut your mouth.
Oh, that has nothing to do with it. For your information, I have Cuban heritage in me, and I'm not going to shut my mouth because you think I'm white. That is a racist comment, and I don't think how you can expect anybody to be polite to you when you are racist.
But you might be Cuban, but you talk like Big White Cracker Lady.
Yeah, white crackle. Man. You know what? Go back to your own damn country and learn how to speak English.
Why can't you shut your mouth to listen to
I'm
them?
Not going
to
shut my
Please don't say
mouth.
Shut her mouth. It's a rude phrase, Mr. Fineen.
He knows it's rude. Anybody who has a business in our country needs to be a little bit more polite. I pity
but you're
the
Cuban,
that
you're,
he deals with.
You're Cuban. You're not American.
Oh, I am American. I was born in the United States.
If you're a Cuban, then nobody's afraid of you. I would like to hire you to clean my home.
I didn't say anybody. You know what? That is just such a misconception. Nobody's afraid of anybody because of their race.
But you
They're
are a Cuban lady.
Somebody because of the way they project themselves.
Exactly.
Maybe you project yourself as a threatening person, and that's what frightens them.
But
you know what? You can come up to me and stare me in the face, and
mouth.
I'm not going to back down.
But you won't shut your mouth.
I'm not going to shut my mouth. Why should I shut my mouth? This is my country. I was born here, and I have every right to say what I want to say.
If you're a Cuban lady, you can clean my home.
I was born in the United States. I am an American.
Can you clean my home?
Okay, is that a statement that you are making, sir, to provoke this lady?
I am saying to you, I'm a Middle East man. You can't push me around.
You're a Middle East idiot.
Because if you push around Middle East man, you know, things go kaboom, you know.
Is that a threat?
No, it's not a threat, but you know that this
That's
is
what
the
you're saying. If I'm pushing you around, then you're going to threaten me by going kaboom? Well, guess what? You can play that game. So where do you live so we can hash this out?
My son wants to know, if you're Cuban, what does Babalu mean? Are you...
Sir, we're having a conversation here. If you keep your son out of it, Elizabeth, I'm going to move on. Thank you very much for your call.
I can understand the
lady's indignation. I would ask you to refrain from the phrase "shut your mouth." It is considered rude. Here is Judy. Judy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Yes, hi. This is Judy,
yes, ma'am.
And I have to tell you that is the rudest man who has disrespected everybody in America,
ma'am.
And yet he claims to want our respect.
No, ma'am.
He wants to be respected, but he will disrespect us.
No, ma'am.
The man is an idiot.
The other lady,
Elizabeth, was absolutely right.
But you see, you will not shut your mouth to listen to what I'm saying. I have said, I'm a Middle East man. I'm not threatening anyone.
You are threatening all of us because you think in your silly mind that we are disrespecting you. You are doing things to provoke and disrespect us.
All right, Judy, hang on for a minute.
We are Americans, and we don't retaliate and
Judy,
do what you do.
Judy, hang on for a minute. I'm going to take a break, but you'll be first up when we come out. We have Raj Fineen on the line. He's an Egyptian businessman who says it's different for Middle Eastern immigrants because people do not dare insult or mistreat them. There are certain risks. Now, I'm hearing a guy threatening, you know, he just said, you disrespect us, things go kaboom. You heard that. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
Mr. Fineen, Raj Fineen joins us, an Egyptian businessman. You say you're in the real estate business. You say you also have clothing?
Yes, sir. Mostly a wholesale clothing business, as well as a different entrepreneur pursuits. But I wanted to say that Middle East man is not... A bad man.
No, but you want him to look like a bad man. I got a caller hanging on.
Just please shut your mouth and let me say this.
No, sir, don't tell me to shut my mouth, and I want to go back to this caller. Judy is on the line.
But I want to make this point.
All right, Judy, go ahead.
Yes, I want to say just one more thing to this man.
Is this the same lady that I was...
You are an absolute disgrace.
She was talking...
Every Muslim in this country that is working hard and living a nice life in the American country, you're a disgrace, sir, to every Muslim that is doing that. And they are not like you, thank heaven.
Could I ask you a question?
What?
Look, if I say to you, for instance, Judy, do you have a daughter?
I'm sorry, we have a lot of interference.
Okay.
I can barely hear you.
Do you have a daughter? Do you have a little girl?
Do I have what?
A daughter.
A
yes,
daughter?
I do.
Okay.
And my niece is married to a Muslim. And let me tell you, he does not.
You can ask him this question.
Disrespecting Americans, nor does he try to intimidate or threaten them.
He's not disrespecting.
He is a very nice person, and you're a disgrace to the Muslim race.
I would say to you, please don't have your daughter act like a field slut in front of my son.
Sir,
you are a
disgrace, and I am not even going to honor statement. You're
a
disgrace, period.
You won't shut your mouth.
I am going to hang up. You are an absolute disgusting disgrace.
You are afraid of me.
I am not afraid of you, you little jerk.
If you see me sitting behind you in Anchorman, I see the sweat trickle down your neck.
If I see you sitting behind me, I would say hello if the occasion arose, and if we didn't make eye contact, I'd ignore you.
Yes, but
because you're not important enough
if I suspect that you are going to be talking to an idiot any longer, I would say I don't want you to talk like a field slut.
Okay. Do you understand what you're saying, sir, when you say to a woman, is your daughter a field slut?
No. Please listen to me and please shut your mouth.
Don't tell me to shut my mouth anymore. I'm going to listen to you. Just don't tell me to shut my mouth.
Sir, I am simply trying to establish for my family, for my people, the Middle East people, that you will not push us around like you push around this Mexican, like you push around these people here.
Not all Americans push around Mexicans. Maybe we don't have the greatest track record when it comes to immigrants, but by God, we got a hell of a lot of them coming here anyway, okay? And for you to say that, you know, you're going to intimidate me by calling my daughter a field slut, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to take that very kindly. Do you understand?
Yes, but you'll be warned, you see.
What do you mean I'll be warned?
You will know that the Middle East man, I'm a Middle East man, okay? You're not going to make jokes of me. You're not going to say, hey, look, there goes this camel jockey into my face. So if I say that your daughter is a field slut,
you don't say that my daughter's a field slut to my face and get away with it.
No, but I have to establish. See, you won't shut your mouth.
Don't tell me to shut my mouth. Let me go over to Nicole. Nicole, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Mr. Raj Fanin.
How you doing?
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I just want to make a comment to this Middle Eastern person that, again, this is America. Maybe in your country, you can intimidate by threatening. No, I'm not. I've dated Middle Eastern men, and you guys are a bunch of slimes. But anyway, hey, you guys have no respect. You cannot earn respect in the state of California. Hey.
Once you go Middle East, you can't go back.
I'm actually married to a Mexican, and he's wonderful.
I think you're married to a Middle Eastern man, but we're getting off track,
and we're not. And what we're trying to establish is that you do not.
A Mexican and a Middle Easterner is about 13,000 miles.
You do not.
Jesus.
Earn respect by threatening. If you say any kind of a threatening thing. Either your son, if he ever came into establishment and I am there wearing a backpack, he's not only going to get his butt kicked by me personally, but I'm also going to call the cops, and then we're going to call the FBI, and then we're going to have an investigation on your family, and then we're
going to
deport your butt right back to your country for some reason why you left and came to our country for better opportunity.
You call the cops on a little boy who is wearing a backpack. You are so brave.
No, because, no. When we call the cops on a backpack on his little boy, we're going to wonder why he's doing that.
When he tells us it's funny,
then we're going to investigate the parents because we think that's poor parenting.
What did he do that's wrong?
You just said it's funny. And to instill a threat, you know, or a guise of a possible threat, you find that funny.
Yes, that's funny. Look at this.
Why'd you come to our country?
This is my country. I'm an immigrant.
It's our country.
I'm immigrant. Do you know that I can talk
why
to you?
Why did you leave Egypt? Why are you here?
Because my brother is in business. He has a clothing wholesale. Nicole, people see me. They look at me with respect and fear. People see your Mexican husband. They say, how much is the lettuce today? This is the difference.
No.
Are you playing ping pong?
I have plenty of Muslim friends of Egyptian, Persian, and Iranian, and Egyptian, and I have no, I've never looked at them with fear. I come up to them, and if they give me respect, I give it right back to them.
I want to ask you a question, Nicole.
I throw it right back.
I want to ask you a question. Are you playing ping pong?
Yes, sir.
Why?
This is what I'm trying to say. I am listening to Nicole, but I'm also playing ping pong with my son because I don't want Nicole to think that I'm hanging on her every word. But I'm not disrespecting her. I'm just slightly bored by her.
So you're playing...
slightly bored by your level of intelligence, but you know what? I'm trying to hang on.
But I play ping pong, you see. We have ping pong...
Well, I'm driving.
Well, you don't have to drive. I have to play ping pong, you see. So, anyway, if I see you, I'll say hello, Nicole. But don't disrespect me.
I would never disrespect something of any person on a first basis intentionally. That's rude.
Listen to me. I'm going to say this to you. It's going to make you mess your pants with fear. You ready? I'll cut you. You like that?
Okay, so what are you doing, man?
I'm playing ping pong. You don't, what's the problem?
What's the problem? You're talking to my callers and you're playing ping pong. You're going into some Western I'll cut you thing. Why are you playing ping pong?
Ping pong is very big, Egypt. Who the hell do you think you are telling me not to play ping pong? It's huge in Egypt. I'm getting ready for a big tournament. And if you tell me I'm not playing ping pong, you know what I say to you?
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Man, I'll cut you.
Jeez, you almost sang that out.
Right. Okay, game, add in.
Later. There goes Raj, man. He was playing ping pong and telling everybody, you better respect me or I'll cut you. 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler will be joining us next hour. You know, I don't know about you, but when I see a Middle Eastern cat, first of all, I don't know if he's a Middle Easterner unless the guy's got a towel on his head. Honest to God. The guy just looks like any other American. You can always spot Europeans and Asians, though, by the way they dress. It's got nothing to do with their race. The style of clothing is a dead giveaway. Generally, it's slightly off, you know. For instance, European men, even the straight men, dress as if they're gay. And Asian men look like they're trying to affect some kind of style, but it just ain't making it. And the Middle Eastern cats, that's a whole other thing, you know. But I don't look with great fear at any Egyptian or any...
What?
Will you knock it off with your ping pong, man?
I'm the grand champion Egypt ping pong club. Don't get up in my grill.
Grand champion of the Egyptian ping pong club. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
Get in there and make me some bean dip. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we have a Jeff Dotter flashback with this update. National Archive employees were suspicious of Mr. Sandy Berger, the former NSA director for President Clinton. So they devised a coding system, marked documents they knew that Berger was interested in canvassing. They watched him carefully. The employees determined the draft and all versions of Millennium Memo had disappeared from the files after Berger viewed them. This is according to the Washington Post. So the archive employees were suspicious of him, so they devised a coding system so they would have marked documents that they knew he was interested in, and that's how they discovered some were missing right after he had viewed them. This ain't good, baby. This sure ain't good for people to want to hang the entire 9/11 imbroglio on Bush. People want to play the blame game. Man, you just ran out of gas. You just ran out of freaking gas on that one. All right, here we go with Jeff Dowder, who he blames President Bush's job creation program because there's no jobs out there, so Jeff had to lie on an application for a lifeguard job saying he knew CPR when he didn't. Some kid drowned, and Jeff doesn't figure it's his fault. It's Bush's fault.
Bill Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
I have a 19-month-old, and I have a 17-year-old. Would you like it if your 4-year-old was out there with a lifeguard that was sitting there flirting or talking to a woman and not paying attention to your child?
First of all, CPR is not everything that people says it is.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay? I've surfed since I was 10, so
CPR,
I know how to swim. Don't you think
CPR does revive people?
Don't you think it's reasonable to assume that if a kid's got a bathing suit on, he's got some idea as to what, you know, that water, you know, like he knows how to float in it and
so
stuff?
Do you think it's reasonable then that your 4-year-old could be standing there and accidentally fall in the water and not realize that she can't swim in 6 foot of water and the lifeguard standing there talking to a girl?
Well, wait a second.
So
if my daughter's in a bathing suit, obviously she knows how to swim.
In our country, President Bush has done more for our country than Clinton would ever do.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding
you.
We had a man in office, Clinton, that lied on the stand, that swore on a Bible to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you die.
Yeah, but no little kid drowned because Monica Lewinsky and him were grappling on the floor.
He died because of the fact that you weren't paying attention because you were too busy trying to get it on with the little girl.
Ma'am, I wasn't trying to get it on with anybody.
Well, let's be clear here if I could jump in. What were you, making time with some chick? Is that it?
I was talking to a girl that was there currently at the pool, yeah. And I want to make the statement. CPR doesn't bring back the dead. Contrary to popular opinion, it doesn't bring back the dead.
But it can revive a person whose breathing has stopped momentarily, and you might have been able to revive that boy had you known CPR.
That is correct. I totally agree with that.
Well, that's what the lady's saying.
And I agree with her.
But you were too busy talking to a woman.
No, that's not why. Bush, if he'd made more jobs, I wouldn't have had to lie about I don't even know what it stands for.
You could have went to work at McDonald's.
Yeah, okay.
I work for a hotel corporation, and all these people out here that want to say that they can't find a job, that's a bunch of bull.
Well, what are you saying about
every day?
What am I supposed to do at McDonald's?
Excuse me?
What am I supposed to do at McDonald's?
You could be a cashier.
Are you telling me I'm going to stand there in one of those hats? First of all...
Oh, so now your pride's in the way.
I got a kid to support, okay?
Let me ask you
I've surfed.
Your pride wasn't in the way.
Wait
a minute.
What?
Your pride's not in the way when you made that 4-year-old to pay child support.
Right.
So your pride should not be in the way to get a job to help pay and support that child.
It ain't about my pride. And also, how do you know I wouldn't have to lie on the McDonald's application? They ask you, do you know fry bin work? Have you had experience around fry bins and malt machines? No. And no.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Yeah, those fry bins and malt machines, the danger, if you don't know CPR, man, you better know CPR to work at McDonald's. Some guy gets around a fry bin, you don't know what's going to happen. He may actually take a sniff of the food. I'm kidding, McDonald's. I eat there religiously. I do. And when I say religiously, I mean religiously. I eat there on Fridays, just as a protest against the Catholic thing. Which, by the way, I don't know where people get with that fish on Friday thing, man. We ain't had to eat fish on Friday for like 100 million years. They came along, one of them Pope councils, and they said, get out of here with the fish thing. Everybody went, hey, you're one of the mackerel snappers, huh? You're a mackerel snapper? Hey, dude, I mean, let's say, 21st century, does that ring a bell? No, man, I ain't no mackerel snapper anymore, okay? No more fish on Friday, thank you very much. No more Mrs. Paul's fish sticks, and no, as my mother's favorite dish, no more fillet of sole. Filet of sole and halibut. Halibut and filet of sole. Yeah, actually, I had it better than most kids, but a lot of kids had the tuna salad thing. Oh, my God. I don't mind it in a sandwich, but like a dish? By the way, I got something in Mexico that was fantastic. You ever tried tuna on a tortilla chip? Oh, my God, it's good, dude. It's real good. You go down to Mexico, you find some very interesting ways to have diarrhea. All right, now, you know what? Every time I get back from Mexico, God, I love that country so much, but I got to be honest with you. It never happens to me down there. You know what people say, I got sick when I was in Mexico? Which, that never happens to me. But when I get back up here, it starts. It takes me at least one time it took an entire summer for my how should we say this, lower intestine to get back squared away again. A whole summer. Marie and I went down there in June. We went down to Puerto Vallarta, I think, in June. And for that entire summer, it was just not crisp enough, shall we say. I just don't want to, you know, I don't want to get too graphic, but it didn't really kind of, you know, a lot of times this come real firing out of there, just solid, and, you know, everything's, you know what I'm saying? It's kind of, it was kind of a lazy summer. And the same thing's happening again. And you know that feeling you get when you're sitting there, and for no reason at all of a sudden, I have to go to the bathroom, I can't. In other words, you can't even say goodbye to anybody. Because you no longer have the muscle control. You are suddenly aware of the fact that you're almost like 6 months old again. You're not wearing diapers. You're probably got hangers on or something, and you are in some serious need. In other words, every time Chris eats over at, I'm kidding, man. What's that sandwich shop we eat at, man? What is that place?
Quiznos?
Quiznos. Yeah, every time Chris goes to Quiznos, it's like, squirt. Quiznos is fantastic. I love their sandwiches over there. It took us a long time to find a good sandwich shop for the Phil Henry Show while we work away the hours here putting our shows together. But Quiznos, we very much deeply believe in Quiznos. We also like Ruben's Red Hots up there on Ventura Boulevard. And thank God for Cheesecake Factory's, what is it, Janice, that we have?
The Cobb salad.
Yeah, the Cobb salad is out of sight there, okay? El Pollo Loco? Well, it's not Spanish for nothing. No, I had El Pollo Loco, and I said to myself, it ain't the chicken that's going crazy, man. You talk about spastic. It ain't spastic chicken. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
What do you mean?
Well, you mentioned Lance Armstrong, Phil, and I admire his athletic ability. It is to be admired. But I think that...
You know, are you aware that today the citizens of France spit on Lance Armstrong?
I admire his athletic ability, but he is what is wrong with our country right now. He embodies a great deal of what is wrong with our country. There is arrogance.
What do you mean by arrogance?
There is arrogance that cancer survivors have traditionally shown. I survived cancer, and now because they say they've survived cancer, the world is supposed to stop what it's doing and watch them win their little bicycle race. And in Lance's case, because he survived cancer, he's decided to step all over the hopes of an entire nation.
How is he stepping on the hopes of France? Lance Armstrong is a champion of a sport that is the national sport of France in a lot of ways. I mean, they love cycling. And
Phil, bicycling, competitive cycling is the national sport of France. It is one sport that they put a great deal of national resource into. And what is our answer to that is to send this arrogant individual over to this country where, cycling is truly revered, as you said. He rolls off 5 consecutive Tour de France championships.
Something to be proud of.
He rolls off 5, if I could just finish my point. He rolls off 5 consecutive Tour de France championships and 3 days away from doing it again. And as a cancer survivor, on top of everything else, he has to lord it over everyone. I survived the testicularity cancer. And
Mr. Wheeler, this is a competition. You know, this is it.
I survived cancer, if I could finish. And the reason why the world hates America is because we are...
And I reject the notion that the world hates America.
Is because we are belligerently trying to spread the American culture into places of the world where they just don't want it.
I disagree. You know, I think that...
And when one of those places is the country of France, the home to so much of what has civilized this world. We can't seem to leave those people alone.
Look, Lance Armstrong is a competitor. The Tour de France accepts competitors from all over the world. And if they didn't want Americans to beat them, they shouldn't have opened the championship up to us. Because
first of all, you're mixing apples and oranges. The French are very gracious people, and they also cannot... very well exclude a country from the competition.
Why not?
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Why not keep Americans out of the Tour de France?
Because that is not the French way. They are gracious people.
But they spit on people.
They are people. Let's get back to what I'm talking about. Lance Armstrong is one of these tiresome prima donna cancer survivors.
Okay, hold on for a minute. What do you mean by tiresome prima donna cancer survivors? This is about the third time you've referenced that.
People who have survived cancer do one of three things that is designed to say, essentially, aren't I so much better than you? They either write a book about their boring cancer, in his case, his isn't. My son calls it nut cancer, it's colloquial, but, and...
Yeah, you know what cancer is, man? It can kill you.
Well, they write their books, then they go on a speaking tour, or if, barring either one of those, They subject their friends to endless hours of monologuing on life and how beautiful it. Maybe the reason the French spit on him is because they have had enough of the I'm a survivor, you can do, and it gets very tiresome. And because the French are people who...
Well, all right, hold on. I got to interrupt you because I want to give our phone number out and I want to get back to talking. I'm with Dean Wheeler with the Northern California Think Tank, an organization designed to minimize the negative effects of America worldwide. Sir, are you an American?
Phil, I'm not going to answer your question. It really, you're a much more intelligent man than that.
All right, I know you're an American, but if the negative effects that America...
You have this man who has gone to France 6 years in a row with his one testicle and his arrogance, and he is going to rub the French nose in the red, white, and blue excrement of Uncle Sam again, and I am tired of it. And I will say this to you. For the United States of America to take the national sport of France away from the French people and to basically say, hi, I'm American, do you mind if I just appropriate your national pastime because we own everything else?
Is he supposed to lose? Is he?
He can participate, but as an American, he has a special responsibility to not necessarily be the story beyond the cycling. Look, have you ever had cancer?
No, sir, I have not, thank God, knock wood.
Well, I have not either. But my wife had a form of cervical cancer about 4 years ago. And, of course, we got her the best medical help we could get.
And I hope she's still with us.
Yes, she is, Phil. Thank you for saying that. We're grateful that she's still with us. But I have, in the succeeding 3 years since she recovered, I have found myself, frankly, I have found myself drinking more. I have found myself taking longer walks after dinner. Otherwise, I've got to sit in that house and listen to her. Oh, you just don't know what it's like. Oh. You know what I mean? She is.
So she's talking about how great life is. Isn't that a beautiful thing, though?
Isn't that a beautiful thing? You know. Yes, it's it, but it never ends with these people. Now you compound that with the fact that the guy's on his bicycle, which is what, you know, we're talking about. He's wheeling around the country on the bicycle, and he says, hi, I'm Lance Armstrong. Not only did I survive cancer, but I think I'm going to kick the French people in their private area with my cycle shoe and do all of this. My wife thinks she's better than me, and all cancer survivors have that attitude. And
all right, I'm. You may be right, you may be wrong about cancer survivors think they're better than everybody else. I think I just want to sort of get to the point here with Lance Armstrong winning the Tour de France 5 different times. I want you to answer this question. Is he supposed to go over there and lose?
I would say what he should do is he's won enough of the Tour de France's to pull out of the race, take himself and what's left of his testicles and come back to the United States and begin to reevaluate, I think, his role in the world. The French, who gave us the Statue of Liberty, are increasingly losing patience with us because of all of our cancer survivors coming over there and going all over the place.
All right, Dean Wheeler with us here, and he is advising Lance Armstrong to not enter any more Tour de France's. He is what's wrong with this world. He's what's wrong with this country. The arrogance of the cancer survivor, and now he's over there winning the Tour de France, rubbing the nose of the French poodle in the excrement of Uncle Sam. I mean, come on, man. Come on, dude. You try to tell me that the guy's supposed to go over there and not win? Now he says, well, look at Lance Armstrong. You've won enough. Stay home. And what is this whole thing with the arrogance of the cancer survivor? Look, a guy survives cancer. I guess he's got a right to start crowing about how happy he is to be alive. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Dean Wheeler of the Northern California Think Tank on what he says should be the last Tour de France for Lance Armstrong. He's won enough, and it's only pissing the French off. Especially the fact that it's an American who went over there who had cancer. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
You know, a lot of women find me very sassy.
Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Dean Wheeler is with us from the Northern California Think Tank about Lance Armstrong's participation in yet another Tour de France. Today, Mr. Armstrong was spit upon. Do you endorse that? The French people, the citizens of France, spitting on this man?
I don't know. Of course I don't, Phil. And your leading questions are so transparent. I'm simply saying to you that Mr. Armstrong has won his fair share of the Tour de France's, and it's time for him to return home before he further sullies our relationship with France. He is a man who is missing one of his testicles, and he goes to France and beats the French at their national sport.
Well, boo-hoo.
It's not boo-hoo. What it is, it's again, the arrogance of the cancers. Hi, I survived cancer. Now watch me win a bike race. Bicycle races, on average, are about as important to our culture, I suppose, as the invention of a new nose hair trimmer. There's a lot of ways, more than one way to skin a cat. And for Mr. Armstrong to go to France, all full of himself because he survived cancer and he's going to write a book, and, oh, yeah, I'm marrying Sheryl Crow, I think is the wrong message to send to the international community. And I'm simply saying, Mr. Armstrong, it might be time for you to hang up your bicycle shorts, even though you're not packing as much in those shorts as you once did.
You come off like you're some kind of a stand-up comic on this whole thing. Here's a man that had cancer that could very well have killed him, and you're saying, hey, pack up your bicycle shorts, even though you're not packing as much in there as you used to, and you're going over to France with your one testicle. I mean, can't you admire a man?
Of course I admire him.
Can't you admire a man for surviving what he survived and then going over and win these races?
In these times, with the French already very seriously disillusioned by us, I think it is the wrong thing to send over a cancer survivor, one of the most boring kinds of people there are, to beat the French in a bicycle race. That's all I'm saying.
All right, and I think the word's bicycle.
That is not my understanding. My understanding of the correct pronunciation is bicycle.
Well, I have never heard it called a bicycle.
That is the pronunciation.
Well, you know what? Perhaps you'll defer to me. I'm a professional broadcaster.
Well, maybe you'll defer to me, Mr. Hendry. I do public speaking, you know.
All right, well,
you say tomato, I say tomato. It's
all right, 1-800-449-8686. Rhonda, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Mr. Dean Wheeler. Rhonda?
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead, ma'am.
You know, I'm a cancer survivor, and I ever thought that I was better than anyone else. But, you know, I feel sorry for this gentleman's wife.
Here we go.
To have to live with somebody that is so innately insecure and obviously has a deep fear of ever getting cancer.
You see, this is what those, you know, those cancer self-help groups do. You learn a lot of
the lingo. Never been to a self-help group. Never.
Well, you learn a lot of this psychobabble, but I'm not saying that I don't love my wife or appreciate what she's been through.
You just don't want to sit in the same room with her when she's talking about how great the world is.
On and on and on about how she beat cancer. Big wow. What about the rest
of us? It is a big wow. You know how many people drop dead of cancer?
Look at
God, she's one of the ones that lived.
Bless your heart for surviving. What all I can say is stay off a bicycle and we can be friends. Because
you know, I don't have any interest in being on a bicycle, as you call it, but I do admire Lance Armstrong for having the energy and the courage and the stamina to be able to race like that.
See, right there. That's exactly what I'm talking about. In other words, let's not talk about his skill as a bicyclist. Let's talk. Oh, and also, he's missing a nut.
I never said anything about him missing a body part. I
can't
ride a bicycle because I don't have the energy, or I've never, ever taken the time to work out the way that these people do, whether it's Lance Armstrong or anybody else that's in a professional athletic event. I admire them for having the guts and the determination and what
it takes to
achieve that goal. And for us to have to kowtow to these French because the poor, pitiful French can't win a race, well, get their butts back on the bikes and work at it a little harder like Lance Armstrong and the rest of the American team have.
All right, well, don't you agree that Lance Armstrong has rubbed the French nose in the red, white, and blue excrement of Uncle Sam long enough, and that it's time for him to come home?
Why is it time for him to come home? He's not past his prime. He's still achieving his goal. Any of those French riders can achieve the same goal, but obviously they're not putting the time and energy into it Lance Armstrong is.
All right. Wouldn't it make our country more proud to have a winner who is a, and let me put it delicately, a stallion rather than a gelding? See, all of these...
Oh, come on. Come on.
Oh, you are so funny. That is just hilarious. It doesn't matter to me if the man's missing an arm or a leg or a testicle. I'm proud of him.
What if you were married to him? What if you were married to him? Okay.
If I was married to him?
Yes.
Hey, man.
My husband, you know what? When I was diagnosed with cancer, we were told not to have any more children. So my husband went ahead and had the surgery, and he sings soprano now. Does that bother me? No. That doesn't make him any less of a man.
Are you telling me your husband went out and got his thing clipped?
Yes, he did. He is.
You know what? We're not even talking about this. We're talking about Lance Armstrong. You say a cancer survivor rubbing the noses of the French. In effect, they spit on him today, which I can't even for the life of me understand why.
No.
Thank you, Rhonda, for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Joey. Joey, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm just saying, how does Lance Armstrong lay down? You know, he's in my same generation. We were never taught to lay down and give up from birth till, you know, college. We don't know how to quit. We don't know how to lay down. And I don't think he should back off and lay down either. You say it's just a bicycle race, if you call it. It could be any kind of race. You know, should we have given up when we stormed the beaches of Normandy and decided, oh, there's too many soldiers up there. We're all going to die. Let's just turn around and go back home.
Well, I don't think so. Obviously, the stakes were higher, but Lance is simply involved in a bicycle competition with... the prestige and the pride of the French, and he's making them, and there were no men in Normandy as far as, if you had only one testicle, I don't think you were allowed to go there. I don't know. I don't know how the army does it. But I can tell you that have you ever been around a cancer survivor, Joey?
I sure have.
Oh, yeah, have you? You know, they just blather on.
I'm in healthcare. I've been around a lot of them.
Yeah, and don't they just keep on blah, 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 blah? You want to smack them because...
I really don't feel like that when I'm around them. I've seen enough people that die of it that I'm very proud of the ones who have had the fortitude and the mental ability to overcome.
I got to say something, I love my wife, but if I knew surviving cancer would cause her to be skipping around like she's spreading flowers in front of an elephant at the circus parade, it's a toss-up as to whether I would have wanted her to survive the cancer.
Man,
are you kidding me?
You are sick.
How am I sick?
You are a sick man.
I hope
your wife isn't listening to this.
No, she's so blissed out over surviving cancer, you'd think she's a Hare Krishna. She runs around this place every day as if she shaved her head. And my
there
point
is no
is,
way that you are an educated man in a think tank.
How can you say?
Like
yeah. How can you say you'd hope?
No, I'm glad my wife is alive, but there are days that I wish either she was dead or I. It just goes on and on. Oh, I survived cancer, and you know, and Oprah had a special on today with cancer, and she joined this Cancer Survivors Network, and it just doesn't.
Would you look at dude? When you have a brush with death like that, you are appreciative of life. Don't you appreciate your life?
I'm sorry?
Don't you appreciate the life you have?
Not hardly. You know, I'm talking to you, and I don't mean any disrespect to you or this gentleman, but it's frustrating talking to a couple of guys that don't have, I guess, my intellect and my understanding.
Oh, well, excuse me.
Your intellect?
Yes, sir.
All right. Joey, thank you for your call. All right, I got to take a break here. You know, I have to tell you something, Mr. Wheeler, with all due respect.
You know, every time someone says to me, with all due respect, I know they're about to take a huge dump on me. Is that what you're
going to
do?
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say to you, though, that I don't think I've heard too many more insensitive remarks than, if I'd known my wife was going to be talking as much as she does today, I almost would have hoped she hadn't survived the cancer. I mean...
Oh, so you're all pissed off now?
No, I'm just... 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, Lance Armstrong, who is characterized by my guest as one of those arrogant, tiresome cancer survivors who wants to talk all about it, and now he's over there in France showing the French up, winning their bicycle race, as he calls it. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686, won't float without pontoons. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Dean Wheeler, the Northern California think tank, on cancer survivors and how they have become, in his opinion, and I guess in the opinion of your group, and I don't know if you guys did research on this or not, they have become insufferably, I think as you put it in your press release, they have become insufferably megalomaniacal, telling the whole world about how they survived cancer. Are you trying to legislate this?
Well, if I could just say, I owe a great debt of gratitude, Phil, in a meeting with Jack Bratslaw of the 19th Congressional District and Senator Riley Odoms of Michigan. These gentlemen are sponsoring a bill in both the House and the Senate that will go a long way toward addressing the issue of cancer survivors, telling us how great they are and everything like that. In Lance Armstrong's case, there's ample proof he is damaging our relation. You know, the French spit on him today.
Yeah, I know they spit on him, and I bet I'd been there. I would have hocked one up from the back of my throat on them.
Well, and in the process, another arrogant American pushing his weight around is born. Let me say this, Phil. All we're asking is a 6 to 8 month moratorium on Mrs. American Housewife, who just survived breast cancer, getting up on Oprah again. Can she think of doing another kind of show? Anything other than getting another breast cancer. You know, here are people who survived face cancer. Here are some people who survived right butt cheek cancer. It goes on and on. And we're asking, through Jack Bratslaw and the efforts of Riley Odom's office in the U.S. Senate, to try to get these people to stop it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Gary, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
Yeah, I would just like to say that, first of all, Dan, is that your name?
Are you speaking with me? So my name is Dean.
Yeah. First of all, I don't think you have a clue about people with cancer, what they go through, what happens to
them. Oh, my God. Are you going to tell me now? I mean, how many times?
Yes, I am. You know why I'm going to tell you? Because I lost my mother last year in March.
Here we go again.
May. I lost my
father
in March.
Have some respect.
And you know what? Listen to me. I've been listening to you. Listen to me. Now,
I've heard all the cancer survivor stories.
Okay, are you going
to
give me a chance
to talk? Listen to the man.
Are you going to give me a chance to talk? Okay. Are you one of these soapbox heroes that just won't let nobody else talk, and all you want to do is voice your opinion?
Go ahead. Go ahead and tell me for the 9 millionth time how you, you know.
Yeah, well, make this 9 millionth in one. Because you know what? Every single time you hear it is just as important as the time before.
I lost
my mother last year. I lost my father in March. And you know what? If they were still here talking about it, because they might have been able to beat it, which unfortunately they couldn't, I would be willing, and more than willing, to listen to them for 6 months, a year, 2 years, any time they wanted to talk about it. Because you know what? Apparently you haven't been blessed with death close enough to realize and appreciate life. And you know what? They don't just say that because of their own gratefulness of being survivors. They say it because it gives people that have it a lot of hope. So you're not just downgrading them. You are belittling the people that are trying to get hope in this. And don't you think there's people in France that have cancer that watch him and say, you know, he beat it. Maybe I can.
Well, sir, do you know how embarrassing it is to hear the French yell out as Lance Armstrong rides by?
There goes one nut.
It's so embarrassing than hearing you sitting there cut down people. People that have it. You don't understand.
When you
come down with a disease and you are dying, in this world, you have a whole different attitude to life,
whether
you're French, American, or anything, no matter your nationality. Life is a God-given thing, and when you can still survive and live another day through it, and you have beat something that might take you out of this planet, you have the right and the privilege to be proud of it. And
his
goal...
I'm dying now because you're killing me.
That's what he wants to do. That's something that he has to grab onto in life. That keeps him going.
I'm dying over here. Look, the reality of life as we know it is that it's a pretty despicable and disgusting trick
that
God has played on
us. Take the energy that they're using in spitting and put it into their legs and beat him.
Are you mad?
Competition. He has won fair and square. Apparently, they cannot beat him, but they find it proud.
Are you mad at me?
Stand there and spit on somebody on the side of the road, which is
right.
A total disgrace.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know what? That's the way that's the French, though. What else do you expect?
Is this gentleman mad at me?
I don't want you to be angry. The French have always been the last ones to join the wagon whenever we've had a war, whenever we've had any
problems.
Let's let
Dean respond to some of the comments that you're making.
Are you angry at me? Because I don't think I deserve that.
Yes, I am.
Why?
I'm not just angry. I am totally disgusted.
I
think I speak for the majority of the people in this country. And I don't care about the politicians you talk to. I don't care about the big shots you talk to. Because I don't happen to be in those shoes to talk to them. But you know what? I talked to the big man, and I talked to the big man,
Let
me tell you something. About life, you cannot belittle somebody if they find something to grab onto, and that's their life, and that's what they want to do. God bless them. God bless them. And people like you that can't stand it, you know what? Divorce your wife, move out of this country, move to France, and get the heck away from everybody here, because you know what? The goal and the hopes and people that have here, that have that disease and stuff, you know, don't deserve to listen to people like you. They just don't.
See, I'm playing taps now. That's shut down.
Good, because you're alive and you can do that. And you know what? He's riding the bike. And God bless him if he beats him. That's just too bad. And any time your wife or anybody else wants to talk to somebody about cancer, there's a lot of people out there with a lot more common sense that will listen to her and that are proud of her. And people like you don't even deserve the airtime or the publicity that you get because you're a minority and you have you're not speaking for the majority of the country.
Is the caller... the caller's gone? Okay, what was that about?
What?
Why did you play taps?
I just had the horn handy.
That wasn't a horn. You were playing a recording. You had the horn handy. Since when are you able to talk and blow a horn?
You'd be surprised at what I can do. Mr. Henry, look, the reality of life, as we all know, is that it's a pretty despicable and disgusting trick that God played on us. Okay, that said, when one of these cancer survivors comes along and talks about how good he feels... It's like someone who's taken LSD. He's not in his right mind, and he has the extra added obnoxiousness to think he's teaching me something. Lance Armstrong has had cancer of the testicular area, and he survived it. He runs around the country telling everyone that his girlfriend is Sheryl Crow. He goes to the country of France, a country that is a proud country. He wins 5 Tour de France's, and he rubs the nose of France in it like they're a bitch that hasn't been housebroken. That's all I'm saying.
1-800-449-8686. Valerie, go ahead.
Hi, this
yes,
is
ma'am.
Valerie.
Hi, Valerie.
And I've called him before. I'm from San Juan, and guess what? I'm a cancer survivor. But I'm calling in because...
Yeah, see, the reason why you're laughing is you know it irritates me.
No, you know why I'm laughing?
That's exactly...
Because if I'm going to tell you something, my husband smiles every single time I'm happy and I'm running around blissful because I survived. My husband can't get enough of it. He'd rather see me happy and blissful than be an old hag and a witch and bitching at you all the time.
I bet you he drinks.
You know what? He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. And guess what? He smiles when I'm talking.
Are you
and trying he appreciates,
to tell?
Yeah.
He appreciates the fact that I did overcome cancer, and he gets me a little longer in this world. I can't say the same for you, and I just kind of feel like bliss has eluded you in your life.
Hey, Valerie, I want to. This is Phil Henry. My wife had to go to the dermatologist because she had a mole that the doctor wanted to excise and look at. And there was a period of about a week where, every night I would dance with her and I couldn't be close enough to her.
Right.
And when I got the word that she was okay, it was like a 100-pound weight.
Hey, Phil, can I jump in?
What?
And Valerie, this is what it sounds like listening to you people.
Why do you care?
Isn't that funny?
Why do you care?
Just a cricket, just the dead of the night.
But why do you care?
Why do I care? Here's why I care. I come home from a hard day's work. I turn on the TV, and there she is, O-P-R-A-H. And guess who she has? A whole bunch of C-N-A-C-E-R survivors. And for show number 6 million...
For you to say what you said, that it was almost worth having your wife die than have to listen to her...
Yeah, very sad that he said that. I think if I was her,
come on, you guys.
She's living in hell now, so I think it would probably have
living
to
in hell. I'm pulling down about $350,000 a year, so if that's
money
hell,
doesn't make it, honey, money doesn't make it. Anybody can have money, not anybody can have empathy.
Knock the crickets off, sir.
Mr.
Not
anybody can have empathy, sympathy, and caring or love, but anybody can have money. That's the truth.
Well, I think anybody can have money. Why don't you go down to Skid Row and ask some of the bums down there, hey, how you doing with that big paycheck? Those guys can barely get up to get the night train and go back to the
gutter. But you know what? They probably have more empathy than you do in your one little finger. They probably have
easy for them to have empathy because that's all they have to do all day long, vomit and have empathy.
But why do you care? You know, Lance wins fairly and squarely,
okay.
And he wins in spite of any obstacles he's faced. He should be commended. He should be rewarded. He should be looked upon as a great example to others.
Okay, that's great. And now, can I get my coffee refilled?
You know what?
You know what you need to do?
Yeah. You need to find where bliss is in your life, because if you had it, you wouldn't understand when people are happy. You obviously are not a happy man. I'm sorry for you.
Bliss for me is having my wife go through a 5-minute period in any day without saying something like, that cancer.
Might get your wish someday. That might happen someday, and then you can rethink those words.
If I hear those crickets one more time, sir, I'm going to hang up.
I didn't hear that.
You might get your wish someday. That might happen, and you'll be thinking these words and wishing you could hear every word she had to say. But maybe not you. I don't know. You don't sound like the type of guy that would.
You know what, Valerie? I've been listening to you, and maybe you're making some sense. Maybe I need to sit down and talk to my wife and simply say to her this. I'm leaving you because I can't stand the fact that you're so happy.
Yeah. I think you do her a great favor.
I want to be miserable, and I want to be miserable with someone who will make me miserable.
Yeah.
So, Valerie,
will
you marry me?
That might be the answer. Let her
get
go.
Get the crickets out of here, will you?
Oh, I like
Let her go, because she's too happy for you.
You say something.
What is it with those crickets, man?
They're my pets. I've raised them since birth.
You freak.
No, really. Say hi to Phil. Crickets. See, that's Dad.
Bob, Stan, and, what's your name again?
Get him out of here. This guy is a freak. I've raised him since birth. Dean Wheeler from the Northern California, what'd you say his name was?
Oh, I remember now, Jiminy.
Yeah, that's right.
He had a career in show business.
Okay. 1-800-449-8686. Wait a second. Jiminy Cricket?
Yeah, he wears a little top hat and a cane.
Yeah, that's the guy. Okay, good. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
There's braces for your teeth and a bust to Dollywood if you'll shut up.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Our website is www.philhenryshow.com, and we have a 30-day archive. And what that means is if you've missed any hour of any show over the past 30 days, if you have a backstage pass, which is only $6.95 a month, you can access any hour of any show over the past 30 days. We also have individual bits that we have archived going back 10 years. I mean, 10, maybe in some instances back to when I was in Minneapolis, that's 11 years of material. It's a very deep archive of material from the Phil Henry Show. If you're a fan or you want to get to know our show, the website's the place to do it. It's www.philhenryshow.com, and we have a backstage pass which can immediately get you the opportunity to access that material. And we also have our souvenir shop, and in it, in fact, I'm very excited to announce. And, you know, all of this stuff is tentative, but we, I believe, have been in contact with Ted Bell at Ted's of Beverly Hills. Ted is about to open a third Ted's of Beverly Hills restaurant in South Beach, Miami, baby. There'll be a Ted's of Beverly Hills sitting right there on Collins Avenue, actually over there on Ocean, facing the beautiful South Beach and the beautiful people struggling and staggering and crawling up and down the sidewalk there. And so, in honor of that, we will have a Ted's of Beverly Hills Miami Beach bowling shirt that will be available. So I'm looking forward to that. And in our souvenir shop as well, if you pick up the Best of the Phil Henry Show 2003 CD, please know that all the money that we raise from the sale of our Best of CDs goes to My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood, California. I got a really mind-blowing email from a member of the Navy Construction Battalion. Over at Port Hueneme, California, Navy CBs are the construction arm of the United States Navy. And these guys were in Iraq building airstrips, doing the things that CBs do. And they had our Best of the Year 1999 CD, Communism is Neat. And he said it like was a real godsend for those guys. We're really happy to hear that. So they're going to send us the flag that flew in Iraq over their battalion site. He said, you want the flag? Where do I send it? I said, my God, yeah, I'd be very honored. I said, tell you what I'll do. See, what I've been trying to do here is we can get the duplicator to sort of, you know, give us the price. I want to get about 1,000 CDs together so I can send over to the men and women in Iraq. Because, you know, I would love to do like a USO thing, but I guess I ain't big enough. You know, you know the cats that have been over there, and they really should be mentioned because they're just amazing people. Who are the guys that have been over there? I'd like to mention them, but I don't know who they are. Now, on to our next topic. No, there was a guy, I know, Gary Sinise has done a number of USO shows. Kid Rock has done a number of USO shows. You know of anybody else? I can't think, but God, I'd love to do my show from Iraq. I would jump at the opportunity. If there's anybody with the USO who'd like to A, pay my way over there, B, pay the way of my staff over there, C, pay the way of my family over there, D, pay for an ISDN line to come back to the States so we can broadcast, and E, make sure that the food and drink is you know, so I'm not getting the colon problems, we'd love to do the USO show. Well, hey, man, I mean, you know, if you're hiring, I don't know, some of those USO showgirls, don't they bring the June Taylor dancers? I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I bet you Bob Hope had his own port-a-john. 1-800-449-8686. This story about PETA yesterday I wanted to mention that they have found out that some of the chickens that have been slaughtered for use by Colonel Sanders were, like, stepped on and thrown against walls. Apparently the individuals that are killing the chickens for Colonel Sanders, some of these people really belong in a nut hatch. You know, I can understand all kinds of crazy behavior, but if you're the kind of person that abuses animals, you belong in a mental ward. You belong locked up. If you're the kind of person that gets his jollies, because I'll tell you something, it's one of the signs of a serial sociopathic, psychopathic brain, animal abuse. People who abuse animals eventually hurt people. So, first of all, KFC has got potential serial murderers working in their chicken slaughtering camp. But the other thing that I want to mention is, or ask, if you're a member of PETA, do you have to be a vegetarian? Or a honestly, like, can I join PETA? And if I do, how can they be sure that I don't eat meat? I'll join PETA, I'll give them all my money, and meanwhile, I'm just eating steaks left and right. Do they care then? What if I give them, like, $1 million a year? Well, all right, if you want to beat up a cow, that's fine. I'll let you know. What's it... between us, what the hell?
1-800-449-8686. The world famous.